is Digital Marketer. This week, it's Susie Nelson.
Hello, and welcome to the Digital Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Snavely, and today is going to be a bit of a departure from our regularly scheduled programming. We're traveling back to Traffic and Conversion Summit 2019. No, that was this year. I know you're thinking, oh, wow, last year. It's not 2020 yet. but it feels like it, right? This is where we talked with Susie Nelson. She's an expert community strategist, and she's the person who grew our Digital Marketer Engage Facebook group from the ground up. This episode is going to include snippets from her presentation, as well as some great insight during our conversation with her backstage. So if you're interested in learning why Susie believes communities will be the thing that saves the world, if you want to understand where a brand community can fit along the buyer journey, and if you want to dig into why your community shouldn't be based on return on investment and instead focused on return on involvement, then keep on listening. Enjoy.
I truly think that communities are going to be the thing that saves the world. I know that sounds really cliche and kind of silly, but you know, in this interesting time that we're living in, everyone is so focused on what is making us different from each other. And community, brand communities or otherwise, are designed to help people connect around what they have in common. And that can be something that's really powerful and life-affirming for people. So I'm really passionate about helping brands add community and adding that human element back into their marketing mix. So if you're looking to launch a community, one of the main questions that I get is concerning community growth. How do I get people in there? How do I get people talking? It's like the number one barrier, like the first barrier that you kind of have to cross whenever you're launching these things. There's two different strategies that you can do. One of them is just opening up the floodgates and inviting your customers in and seeing what happens. That's what Digital Marketer did with the DM Engage community. I think that we started out with, 2,000 members. They had a pretty large customer community, and they just sent an email out and asked them to join a Facebook group. And I believe at the time the promise there was if you asked a question, a member of the DM staff would answer. Then we had Traffic and Conversion Summit and got lots and lots of new members pretty much overnight, and that quickly did not scale. So we really had to turn it into peer-to-peer support. So knowing what's achievable and what can scale is probably really important whenever you're thinking about the value that you're bringing. And that value can change. It shifted for Digital Marketer. We did a pivot and it was fine. So it's knowing what value you're going to bring to your members. One of the things that I talked about in my presentation was return on involvement. What return are your members going to get for participating in your community? So generally speaking, that comes down to information. Are they learning something new? Whether that's from you or from their peers, authority, they can build up authority among their peers by becoming subject matter experts themselves. And that sense of belonging, which is kind of the holy grail of community building. You know, they really feel like they have friendships and connections and they have met people who actually get them. So whenever you structure your content to encourage those kinds of return on involvement, you'll start to see ROI of your own. The biggest takeaway I can give to people is to know where it fits in the customer value journey. Know what you're trying to achieve with your community. Don't try to make it achieve too many things at once. You can't have community be your only marketing strategy, but you can use it strategically within the customer value journey, either to nurture your leads or to excite your customers or to equip your promoters. So as long as you stay super focused and try not to make your community do too many things at once, you're going to start seeing a lot more of a return on your efforts. So before we really dig into community ROI, I want to make sure that we all understand what it means when we say community. Because sometimes when you say community, it's a touchy-feely term, and people don't realize that you're actually talking about something very specific. The first thing you should know is that community is not your traditional marketing audience. They are not there solely to consume content from you. That is a very transactional relationship. That's kind of what people think of when they think of marketing audiences, as someone who's there to consume what you have to say. But community is a little bit different. Community looks more like this. It's people talking about what they have in common, connecting, sharing their knowledge, sharing their experience, right? They're not just there to consume content. They're there to have a discussion and make connections with each other. So there's an easy way to tell if you have a community or an audience. if the conversation is mainly between you and the members of your community in a back and forth, way, like you say something, your community talks back to you, that's most likely your traditional marketing audience. This can happen in Facebook groups. This can happen in a forum. The platform doesn't matter, right? It's the communication that's happening in there. So if it's mainly between you and your members, it's most likely an audience. That's completely okay, but it's not a community. If the conversation is mainly between members of your community, your group, your forum, whatever platform you're using, that's where the community magic starts to happen. People are talking to each other. Brand communities take transactional customer relationships, that relationship that is, I give you a product and you give me money, or I give you a piece of information and you give me your email address. That's very transactional in nature. Brand communities take that transactional customer relationship and turns them into emotional relationships that are a lot stronger, and they tend to last a whole lot longer. And there is a lot of money to be made in these brand communities. Last year, online communities generated a 2,374% increase in ROI, according to the State of Community Management report put out by the Community Roundtable. That's the good news. The bad news is only 23% of these communities actually calculated their ROI. And there are some pretty good reasons for that, because it's complicated and it's hard. And there's some good reasons why it's hard. Data can be really, really difficult to obtain and time-consuming to go through, especially if you don't own the community platform where your community is housed. Community benefits can also have indirect effects on increasing costs and decreasing revenue. So it can be really hard, even if you have the data, it's really hard to tie it back. Attribution, attributing changes to your community efforts can be really tricky as well, and we'll take a deeper dive into this. And communities, by nature, skew results, especially if you're asking people to self-report. And we'll get into that, too. So let's talk about three steps to community ROI, return on investment. And guys, I promise, I was never a fan of math, more of like an English and history person, so I promise I'll take it easy on you. But if I can wrap my brain around it, you can, I promise. So step one is to know the goal. The best way to get to know the goal of your community is to apply it to the customer value journey. Remember, it's all about journeys. So the customer value journey is this step-by-step way that to move someone from a complete stranger to your brand to a raving fan. It all starts with aware. So, you know, if somebody is a stranger to your brand, they need to first become aware that you even exist in the first place. So a lot of the time that happens whenever they see an ad or they hear about you from someone else. If they like what they hear, they're going to start researching you a little bit. They're going to start engaging with you, moving on to step two, the engage part of the value journey. That's whenever they're reading a blog post, maybe they're watching your videos, they're engaging with you on social media. They're just trying to get to know you a little bit better. If they have a great experience, that's when they move on to subscribe. That's whenever they opt in to receive some content from you. But they're not a customer yet, but they're opting in. They're saying it's okay for you to market to me. If they have a great experience, that's when you start making money. That's when conversion happens. So the prospect makes a small purchase, they schedule a demo, they make some small commitment to your brand. If they had a great experience, they move on to the excite stage where they get value from their transactions. If they are still excited, if they had a great experience, then it's time to show them your core offer and any upsells that you have and to send them through the funnel. If they still have a great experience, they move on to advocate. This is what Ryan was talking about this morning, happy customers. These are people who are giving you testimonials or case studies, sharing their experience with you. And then they move on to promote. And that's whenever a successful customer starts telling their friends and family about how awesome your brand is, and the cycle kind of starts all over. Now, Ryan teaches us that the role of marketing is to move prospects seamlessly through each stage of the customer value journey. Now, when it comes to applying your community to the customer value journey, don't make it do everything. No one community can move people through the entire value journey. That's what other elements of your marketing are for. Your email marketing, your content marketing, stuff like that, right? It's a whole marketing mix that moves people through the value journey. So I've seen brands try to do this. I've never seen it work out well. So don't try to make your community do too many things at once. And what I found is the most successful brands focus on one of three areas of the customer value journey whenever they're starting off their communities. The first is aware and engage communities. These are communities that meet people at the aware and engage part of their journey with the brand. So these are for people who are just becoming aware that you exist and they're trying to get to know you a little bit better. An example of this that I love to use is the CMX Hub Facebook group. So CMX Hub is a brand that provides training and resources for community managers like me. And they have this Facebook group you can join, and you do not have to be a customer to join this group. As long as you tell them, like, hey, I'm a community manager, I would like to connect with other community managers, you're in. And so they use this as a way to kind of prime the pump. It's lead acquisition for them. They have a summit every year, and you can bet they're posting in that group, trying to get people to come to the summit. So this group is all about aware and engage. It's meeting people who are just trying to figure out what the CMX thing is all about, maybe just what this community management thing is all about. And they're really nurturing their leads through groups like this. Some metrics you can expect to influence with an aware and engaged community are things like lead acquisition, site engagement. If somebody is researching your brand, if they're interested in your brand, you might see them typing in your website directly a little more often. You might also see an increase in just offer awareness, now not conversion, but awareness. And you might also see some retargeting list growth. So those are some metrics that this type of community can affect. Communities can also fit very, very nicely in the excite and ascend stage. So you'll notice that this is after conversion. So these are for your customers, your customer community. This is getting people excited about your brand, especially brands with really long sales cycles. They can really benefit from having community because it keeps people interested in your brand top of mind while they're waiting for this next sales cycle to come up. An example of this is FabFitFun. So what this company is they're a subscription service, and they send you 4 boxes a year with, like, I don't know, it's girly stuff. It's like makeup and skincare and fitness stuff. So the cycle is there are many, many opportunities for people to cancel their accounts in between these boxes. So they've set up the FabFitFun forum, which is very difficult to say, and where their community, members only, so you have to be a subscribed to their service to join this community, but they talk about everything in here, not just about the subscription boxes, although those conversations do come up, but they talk about anything that their customer avatars are interested in, beauty, health, wellness. There's like a celebrity gossip section. These FabFitFun are experts at content creation in their community. They also released FabFitFun TV for their members, and it's workout videos. So their members have a lot of value and access through this, and it's a total retention play. They're trying to keep people interested and keeping the brand top of mind in between these long waiting periods between boxes. So Excite Ascent communities, oh, by the way, that's where DM Engage fits too for DM Lab members. That's a total Excite and Ascend community. Community metrics that you can see are generally affected by this type of community is retention. You want people to like stick around your brand, especially if you have a subscription service. But really, Rent Prep that I mentioned earlier, it's a community for landlords. And Rent Prep provides background checks for tenants. So you can imagine that the sales cycle for that could be quite long. Because if you only have one tenant and that tenant lives there for 3 years, it could be a while before you need another background check done. So they have a community for landlords that have used this service, and they talk about, I don't know, landlord things, laws, and what do I do with this bad tenant, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a total, it's keeping their community and their brand top of mind. So retention can definitely be affected by this type of community. Customer lifetime value is a big one. A lot of communities, these types of communities see that their community members spend more and more often whenever they are a part of an Excite and Ascend community. Offer conversion rates, you should be seeing those start to go up. As people become more trusting of your brand, as they get more excited, you'll probably see your email open rates and your email click-through rates increase as well. And of course, brand sentiment and brand loyalty can be really affected by these communities as well. The last place a community fits really nicely is in the advocate and promote areas of the value journey. So this is activating and equipping and empowering your advocates and your promoters. It's getting those testimonials and it's getting those referrals. An example of this is the Yelp Elite Squad. So the Yelp Elite Squad, they take people who consider themselves writers and photographers and adventurers, and they give them a platform within their within this community. And it's also people who use Yelp like a lot, y'all, a lot. So they do things like, hey, we have a restaurant opening, and this is exclusive to this advocate and promote community that we have. So you exclusively get access to this. You're going to create a whole bunch of content for us. And then you're going to convince your friends how awesome Yelp is, and more people are going to use the app. So Yelp Elite Squad fits in that advocate and promote area of the value journey. So some metrics that you might see affected: lead acquisition, but not through the community itself, but like, you know, your community is out there getting leads for you. Retention, it's another reason for them to experience a great side of your brand. Customer lifetime value, again, brand sentiment. You'll also see some testimonials start to pop up in this type of community. And if you have something like a partner program, you'll see an increase in affiliate sales. So I wanted to make sure that you guys knew how community fits into this marketing mix before we start really diving into the ROI. So let's say that you know the goal of your community. You either want to nurture your leads, you want to excite your customers, or you want to activate those promoters. Then you decide on your math. So those are those metrics that we just went over. So pick your equations. Now, I debated a very, very long time on whether to talk you through how ROI is calculated, lead acquisition, customer lifetime value, but you guys are all like very experienced marketers, so I'm not going to take a deep dive into the actual formulas here. But be sure you know what you're measuring and be sure that it's applying to the type of community that you actually have. If you are measuring lead acquisition for a community that's geared toward, you know, exciting and ascending your customers, you're going to have a bad time. So just be sure that what you're measuring is actually like tied to the goal of your community. Once you have your community goal and you have your math, you have your equations, there are three things you have to consider when it comes to measuring community ROI, because measuring community ROI is tricky. And it's a little bit different than measuring other elements of your marketing mix. The first thing you should know is that cost for community, 90% of the time, is front-loaded. You spend a lot of money at the very, very beginning. And so you might have negative ROI for a while. These are all the different things, and this isn't even an exhaustive list, of things that could cost you money whenever you're starting a community program, especially if you are developing your own platform or you're buying like a licensing from a existing platform like Lithium or Jive or something like that. So you have software license fees, development fees. You need to host it somewhere. And even if you're using a free resource like Facebook groups or a forum, you still have staffing costs, you have training costs, consulting costs. If your community is something of a sensitive nature, you might have to do some legal consulting. IT support, you have to think about content creation because communities are never set it and forget it. Advertising to get eyeballs on your community in the first place, outreach programs, incentive programs, the list can go on. But the advantage of community is scale. Community scales awesomely. Let's say that you have a knowledge-based community, like a customer support community, where maybe customers a peer-to-peer support community, where people ask questions and other people answer, and that's not going to your customer support team. It's staying in the community. Let's say you have 800 customers in there, and overnight, maybe you throw a big event, and you get 1,800 customers. You might not have to make any changes at all if you have a community, but if you don't and all those questions are getting routed to your customer support team, you're gonna have to hire more people. So community scales really, really well. Now, I made up these numbers, but it often looks like this. Costs are really front-loaded at the beginning, and then as the community matures and starts providing value, eventually it's gonna net positive. So it's important to know where you're at in the community game, so not to freak out if you have negative ROI at the beginning, if you're not seeing as many leads as you like, or anything like that. Just know that 90% of community ROI looks like this. Costs are really front-loaded, but over time, you don't have to invest as much. The other thing you need to know about community ROI is that communities are biased, especially response bias. If you're trying to get your community members to self-report on some metrics, if you just drop a link in a Facebook group or a forum, you know who's going to answer? Your most active members who love you the most. And you know what they're going to tell you? How awesome you are. And that feels really good. But you're not hearing from the people that you really need to hear from. You're only hearing from people who already love you. So there is a response bias with communities. Now, some ROI is invisible with community. If anybody here runs a nonprofit, this is probably for you. Sometimes community is about the impact that you're driving and not about a financial metric that you're trying to influence. So the thing that you should research is called social ROI. I actually just heard about this a few months ago as I was preparing for this presentation, and it is intriguing. It's really big in the UK. And what this is a way of measuring things that aren't traditionally reflected in dollar amounts. So, you know, what impact did we drive? How did we change the world around us? You can't really tie a monetary metric to that. It answers the question, how effectively is my company using its resources to create value in the world? It's very lofty. So SROI asked, who changed? Those are your stakeholders. Those are your customer avatars. Those are the people that you're trying to reach. How did they change? How do you know that they changed? And how much is attributed to you and not to other, you know, environmental factors out there? And how important are the changes to your goal? Now, how do you accomplish this? That varies widely because this is a fairly new science, SROI. A lot of it is achieved through surveys, before and after. You know, you survey people before they join your community, you survey them at a certain point after, and you ask them questions like, are you more informed? Did you change your opinion about this thing? It also relies on proxy metrics. So that is a metric that is representative of a change. So let me give you a quick example. Let's say that you're the Humane Society and you're trying to stop a puppy mill in a certain city. So let's say part of your strategy is that you want to get people to sign a petition. And you have an online community and you drop your petition in that community and you ask everyone to sign. What is the ROI of that? Well, you could use a proxy metric. You could figure out how much it would cost if you hired someone to go door to door and collect as many signatures as you got through your community. That's a proxy metric. It's not perfect, but it's a way to assign a value. You can also do surveys. Whenever people join your community, you can ask them, how do you feel about this puppy mill in your town? How informed are you? Did you even know there was a puppy mill in your town? And then after they've joined the community and have been there for a little while, you survey those same people again, and you say, how has your opinion changed? Has it changed at all? You ask them the same questions. And it's a way to measure the impact that you're driving. But remember, response bias is a thing. Another thing that I'm a big advocate for is emailing your surveys instead of just dropping a link into your community. That way you can negate that response bias a little bit. So proxy metrics, answering those questions, lots of surveys, but be sure you're still using your sampling and your control groups. And split test if you can. So let's finish this up by talking about a different kind of ROI. If you guys have ever been to my talks before or seen any of my presentations through Digital Marketer, you know that I'm super, super passionate about the member side of community. Because we're all marketers, it's really, really hard to have a community of your prospects and your customers and not like directly sell to them all the time because they're right there. But I want to talk to you about a different kind of ROI. I want to talk to you about return on involvement. This is, what are your members going to get out of being involved in your community? What are they going to get out of it? We've talked about what you can get out of it, but let's not forget that community is all about those relationships and those members. All the stuff that I'm about to tell you can apply to all of these communities, no matter where it's positioned in the customer value journey. There's three kinds of member ROI. The first is information, the second is authority, And the third is belonging, which is the holy grail of community. So let's talk about information. The return on involvement means that when members are involved in your community, they can acquire new skills. If you manage your own community or if you manage someone who does, there are steps that you can do to encourage this. The first is peer support. So this is DM Engage all over. This is the whole point of Digital Marketer Engage is peer support. If somebody asks a question, somebody else is going to come in and answer it, and they'll probably be pretty knowledgeable because you guys are all really smart marketers. Peer support is a way where you can hear experiences from other people and get to know your tribe, finding someone who's like, yes, I get it, I've been there, I get you, and then you feel like you found your people. You can also do things like AMAs, give people information through Ask Me Anythings. I believe this got started on Reddit, but it's kind of like everywhere on the social web. AMA means Ask Me Anything, and usually a subject matter expert will pop in and say, hey, I'm Dan, and I created the show Community. Ask me anything. And so people will mostly stay on topic, but you know, some people will ask funny things or ask inappropriate things. But AMAs are a great way to disseminate some valuable information. The second way you can build up a return on involvement is building up authority of your members. Let them become leaders among their peers. There's a lot of different ways you can do that, but it really is a powerful way to kind of up-level the community experience. Member spotlights is a big one. Several years ago, I did a stint in AmeriCorps, and I still get their newsletters. They do member spotlights, so I can read about what other people are working on, what other alumni are working on, and it's really building them up. Like, those are my peers. It's really cool to see them do cool things and kind of get inspired by everything that AmeriCorps has done for these people. Advisory boards are a really, really cool way to build authority among your members. Sometimes they're called CABs, Community Advisory Board. And what this is they take a group of people from the community, leaders, maybe they do a stratified sampling and they approach people one-on-one, but they gather up a small group of people and they pretty much ask them for advice. They say, hey, we're thinking about, I don't know, changing our group rules. What do you think as a community member? Or we're thinking about changing our product. What do you think as a member of this community? And it's really building up their authority and making them feel really, really heard and valued. So that is a huge return on involvement for these members. So building up authority can be a really awesome, powerful way to spark a little return on involvement. Now, belonging. Just as I said earlier, is the holy grail of community. This is whenever members find connection, they find friendship, they find that emotional value in being a part of a community. A community, by definition, is something that sets you apart from the general population, right? The more that you can create that sense of belonging, the stronger your community is going to be. One of the first ways you can do that proactively is having really good guidelines and a moderation strategy. What are you going to do if someone in your community starts ranting about how awful your brand is? What's your move? What are you going to do when two of your community members start fighting with each other publicly? What are you going to do? What are you going to do if someone comes in and says, you're all idiots, I'm the smartest person in the world, and you guys just got to shut up and listen to me. I've seen all of this happen. Having really strong guidelines and a moderation strategy is really important, so be sure that you think through these things, think through these situations, and know how you're going to react ahead of time. Now, a quick word about guidelines. Don't make them rules. I'm sure you guys have heard me preach on this before. Rules are a list of do's and don'ts. Hey, community members, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, or this, or this, or this. It feels very abrasive to new members, and I guarantee you, a community member is going to do something stupid, and they're going to come to you and say, I didn't technically break a rule. And then what are you going to do? Use guidelines. Instead of a list of do's and don'ts, say this is how we expect everybody in this community to behave. And keep it a little vague. And have a moderation strategy. Know what you're going to do before these situations happen. You're always going to have new situations pop up. One thing that I've learned about community is that people will always surprise you. Human beings are dynamic amazing, wonderful, unpredictable people. And once you think that you understand them, you don't. They're going to do something that surprises you. So you're not going to cover all of your bases. But it's really important to think through some scenarios and determine how you're going to act. New member onboarding is a really important element of return on involvement whenever you're, you know, building up that sense of belonging. Make sure your new members have everything they need to get plugged in as soon as possible. If you have something like a forum, directing your new members to newbie corners is a really fun strategy, where it's just a list of all the things that they need to know. At DM Engage, it was a Facebook group, so we couldn't really have a knowledge base laid out as nicely as this forum. But we would let people know, hey, did you know that there's a glossary here? We're a community of marketers, so we like to speak in acronyms a lot, and sometimes those acronyms are very DM-specific. So if someone is new, they're just not going to know what the CBJ is, and they're like, what are all these people talking about? I'm totally lost. So that's why we have like a glossary that we point people to. So look for opportunities to make your new members welcome and onboarded, that they know how people talk, that they know how people behave, and they can feel like they're a part of this tribe. You can also encourage self-disclosure. That is a very sciencey word. It just means that you're trying to get people to reveal something about themselves, to have an honest conversation with other people in this community that is not small talk. So the reason why I have this up here, this is one of our welcome messages from back in the day. And whenever we welcome new members, we ask them to answer three questions. This is strategic. We're trying to get them to self-disclose, get in the habit of talking about their experience and themselves, because that's where all that community value is. So I believe in this instance, we ask them, you know, what industry do you work in? What makes your job awesome? And what's one digital marketing challenge that you have right now? And so when people answer that, other people in our community would read through those and start immediately providing them help. That sense of belonging, that's making sure that those new members feel plugged in and they're immediately getting that ROI out of the community. Also, take a whole lot of time initiating introductions. This is kind of like the magic sauce of community management. As a community manager, constantly looking for opportunities to make introductions and let people know that you have found your tribe. You might not identify with every single person here, but I can introduce you people who get you. You have to do this constantly when you're a community manager. Constantly, because it fosters that sense of belonging and community. So to wrap up here, community ROI is important. All of those equations that you already use in other areas of your marketing mix can be applied to community. Just make sure that you're not trying to make your community do too many things at one time. Pick the metrics that matter for your community. Community ROI is difficult. It's not impossible. You should know that you're mostly going to be like correlating instead of attributing, but that is totally okay. You're still going to get a whole lot of value. Know your goals, choose your math, remember those three C's, and please don't forget about your member experience. Don't forget about what they should be getting out of this community.
Wow. So I hope you got as much as I did out of that. I know there's so much to unpack. And honestly, I think if you got one thing to take away and begin implementing into your community strategy, I mean, whether that is starting a community, maybe you don't have one. Maybe it's finding that achievable, scalable engagement strategy, then you, my friend, are on the right track. As always, thank you so much for listening, for giving me a little bit of your day this week. If you like this episode, I'd love to see a review of what you think. If you like this podcast, I'd love to hear from you. You know what? We'll see you same place, same time next week. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.